welcome back to the podcast Speak Your Truth Now. Thanks for taking some time to listen to us today. We really appreciate it. And like we've said in previous episodes, we want to talk about hard conversations on the podcast. And so we want to hear back from you all as much as possible. So find us on Instagram and we'll be periodically posting questions and asking for your feedback. And if you haven't noticed so far, we've been posting every other week. So that's going to be our pattern and stay tuned for more about that. But this week, we're going to have a shorter episode. We'll be talking a little bit about current news. And then after that, we will have our Meet Mallory episode where you get to learn more about Mallory, the co-host. I think we'll go ahead and get started.
Yeah, so I think the most current thing we should talk about first would be John Lewis and C.T. Vivian passing recently.
Right.
Two heroes of the civil rights movement, both gone at the same time, is, you know, it's terrible, it's awful, but they both live like such incredible lives. I know a little bit more about John Lewis, just, you know, living in Atlanta. So I'm a little bit more familiar with John Lewis, but both of them were just absolute heroes and incredible, incredible people.
Yeah, I was really sad to hear about that this past week. And I think, I want to say C.T. Vivian passed on the 17th and then John Lewis, I guess several days after that. It's been really interesting to kind of see the news around John Lewis's passing. A lot of Congress people have been posting about it. And I think I've talked about this on social media a little bit about how Congress has been referring to him as the moral compass and just sing his praises from Republicans to Democrats. You can appreciate that people that have different political views can get along well together and be friends and respect each other. But I feel like a lot of what he was trying to get done obviously was being blocked by McConnell specifically. It's just interesting to hear those praises and know that they're kind of half-hearted, at least to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because, like, the thing that I think a lot of people don't fully realize about John Lewis is that he absolutely is a civil rights hero and icon, but he has been so progressive for so many years. You know, he was one of the ones who staged the congressional sit-in after the shooting at the Orlando nightclub.
Right.
He was the one who staged that. He's been in support of, you know, gay marriage long before it became fashionable and cool, to be frank. You know, he's always been just sort of like, I guess, like just very consistently progressive, I think, is how I would describe his tenure in Congress. And I think, you know, it is really interesting to see, you know, so many people, the president in particular, you know, offering their condolences and talking about how sad they are about John Lewis passing. But then you think for a second, like, wait a minute, president was the same one who said that, you know, Lewis's district is a shithole and he needs to clean up his area. And what has he ever, like, what actions has he ever done? Which is a incredulous statement to make.
Right. You
know, what has John Lewis ever done? Well, sit the down. Let's talk about that.
Yeah,
it's sad losing two of them just back to back like that.
Yeah, I know. And C.T. Vivian, like you as well, I don't know too much about him. I know that he was a civil rights activist and I believe a preacher, close friend to MLK. I think he worked with him, you know, very closely. And I was just kind of learning a little bit about him. And the fact that he has created, you know, different social justice groups and really has been working on social justice issues his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, just kind of reminds us that people have been fighting for this for a long time. And, you know, change is going to be something we're going to have to try to stick around and see.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, I mean, it just is. John Lewis fought his whole life for it. And I think it's really cool how excited he was about all the protests right before he passed away, how excited he was about that energy and his legacy being carrying on.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So on a sad note, we had these two giants that passed away, but definitely if you all haven't really had an opportunity to look more into these two individuals, we would definitely recommend that.
Mm-hmm.
So on to some current news. I know that we've been wanting to talk about people of color that have been in the news and that are involved in kind of the social justice things that are going on right now and conversations. So I've been wanting to talk about Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms since, you know, she is the mayor of Atlanta and she's been, you know, in the news very regularly for the whole time of COVID up until now, still too, following all of the social issues going on in Atlanta after the killing of Rayshard Brooks.
Yeah, so like you're saying, like she has increasingly, you know, gotten a more national presence the last few weeks. And her response to COVID back in like March, April, when it was, you know, just getting bad here, it was like so, so excellent. Like she was being like such a leader when Kemp wasn't doing. And here I go again, cussing a lot because we're talking about Kemp. So sorry, Eric, a lot of bleeping to be done later on. But, you know, like she was, you know, one of the first officials in Georgia to really step up and mandate masks back then and everything. And she's really, and, you know, even to this day, as we speak right now, like she's still, you know, working really hard to try to stop the spread of COVID in Georgia. But while she's been doing that and it's been great and she's, you know, in talks of being one of the VP contenders, her response to the protests here has been a little, you know, it leaves something to be desired, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I know we've had the opportunity to see her speak publicly several times. You know, it's been interesting to kind of follow her and kind of see what she thinks about everything. But yeah, I've kind of been let down when it comes to her response to the protesters. I think that it's something that a lot of people are talking about. She is under consideration for, you know, for VP along with a lot of other women of color too. I know that Biden's looking at a shorter list now and there's about four women of color. And so I'm interested to kind of see what made her a great candidate, you know, someone that they would actually consider. I know that she's been the mayor of Atlanta for 2.5 years and she has done a good bit of work around policing. So I think that that's good. But, you know, it's just kind of interesting to try to take a look at the big picture.
Yeah, exactly. Because like she has done like a lot of things that, you know, are like good things that I agree with. Like, you know, she said in 2018, you know, Atlanta City jails can't hold ICE detainees, which is great, which is awesome. But also jail shouldn't exist in the first place, Keisha. And like she has done things like working on like affordable housing and ending cash bonds and stuff. But then she's also secured a 30% raise for cops. So, and like, I think like you and I have talked about this a little bit before. But like I think she is representative of a lot of other like liberal leaders in America at this time, or maybe I should say Democratic leaders in America at this time, where, you know, like on some things like they're doing a really good job or an okay job, but on like other things, especially in regards to Black Lives Matter and protests and, you know, defunding police, abolishing the police, her work there leaves a lot. Frankly, to be desired.
Yes, I would agree. And, you know, like we were talking about, you know, she's been on the news a lot when it comes to COVID, and her and Governor Kemp are going a little bit back and forth on her mask mandate in Atlanta.
Yeah, like that. I don't know if y'all don't know about that. I will try to keep it really, really brief overview. So Kemp said back in like late April that no local authorities could implement a mask mandate, that basically like his word, you know, superseded everyone else's. But then before Keisha Lance Bottoms announced the mask mandate for Atlanta, Savannah and Athens had already had mask mandates in play for a week or so, or a couple weeks. And then as soon as Keisha came out with hers, like a few hours later that same day, she's being served with a full lawsuit over the mask mandate and it going against the governor's wishes, which is really frustrating and stupid and absurd and a waste of everyone's time and resources.
Right.
I guess, luckily, that sounds like a really weird word to use right now, but luckily, you know, a judge has ordered them to mediate it and work it out outside of court, which I suppose is good, but, you know, it should never have been an issue in the first place.
Right.
And it really, it doesn't seem like it. I mean, Kemp is, you know, deliberately targeting Atlanta and targeting Keisha Lance Bottoms, who is a Black woman. And, you know, the other mayors of those two other cities, Savannah and Athens, they are not Black women and right. they are not in Atlanta. And it just seems like Kemp has a particular vindictive agenda against Atlanta.
Right. Yeah, we can see that playing out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad that we got to talk a little bit about that. As far as the mask mandates, you know, I see a lot more states getting with the program and making it, you know, required. But once again, this is all really late.
So late.
It's been hard for everyone. Everyone involved.
Yes.
Everyone listening has been affected by this and all the issues that are now popping up because we can't seem to get people to wear masks.
It's the easiest thing in the world to do. And yet here we are.
Yeah. It's pretty sad when all that we can really hope for right now is a vaccine. And that's how far gone we are.
Exactly. Like there's no going back. You know, now that, you know, people have already decided, I'm not wearing a mask. What about my freedom? You know, this is unfortunately our reality until there's a vaccine, I think.
Right. Well, I'm glad that we could end on that great note.
On that happy note. The opposite of ending on what's giving us hope this week.
So, and to speak to that too, everybody stay healthy and safe and wear your masks. And hopefully, you know, we'll see some improvement down the road. So I think we'll go ahead and finish this segment, but stay so you can listen to Mallory. She'll be telling you a little bit more about herself.
Yeah, stick around. Hello there. It's Mallory Harris, and welcome back to Speak Your Truth Now. I'm so excited to be here with Amanda Daniel Monroe, one of my best friends who I've known for over 10 years now. We've been friends since college and even ventured on to the same grad school together, although we were in different departments. I was born in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, and have mostly lived in the South for my whole life, except for a brief stint in Chicago for grad school. My background is English. I have my bachelor's and master's in that field. Even though my job now has nothing to do with that field, the things I learned in those programs have absolutely shaped how I understand systemic racism in this country. Like I've said before on the podcast, I'm white and I'm queer. I like the word queer because it captures that revolutionary, rebellious spirit of the Stonewall Uprising, and not the sanitized and safe version of queerness we're so often presented by the media and by society, as if it were a simple inversion of heterosexuality. Right now, it is especially important for us white people to fight systemic racism and dismantle white supremacy. We're the ones who created this system, and it is up to us to demolish it. People of color have been telling us for decades that systemic racism is alive and well, and it is our job to listen to people of color, examine our own complicity in the system, have some uncomfortable conversations with our friends and families, and start taking action today to support people of color. I'm so excited to be here with Amanda and talk to y'all. These conversations are often difficult, but they are necessary. And I gotta pause for a second and thank Eric for bleeping out my numerous cuss words. Try as I might to clean up my word choice, there's usually a few words that fall through the cracks. I hope y'all get as much out of this podcast as I get out of making it, and that you continue to think about these topics and continue these conversations, and make examining and dismantling white supremacy part of your everyday life from here on out. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.